Well, hello, hello. Join me today as I share this great conversation with a mentor and friend of mine in the horse world, Elaine Anzian. This chat isn't just about horses and riding, although it is, but it isn't. It's about a slice of life. It's about finding the joy in the moments. It's about the awareness of the lightness of being. Elaine Anzian, owner and founder of Anzian Horsemanship, is a lifelong student of the horse, starting her journey at the Gelinas Farm in Pembroke, New Hampshire, when she was 6 years old. As a teen and young adult, she had the opportunity to study under some of the greatest horsemen and women in the country. Elaine has the innate ability to meet horses and riders where they are, allowing them to feel comfortable and safe to succeed at their own pace. Quite frankly, that statement applies to life. It doesn't mean you have to have a horse to get the message, right? The Gelinas Farm is owned and operated by Elaine and her husband, Adam Tashiro, offering high-quality services of boarding, lessons, training, and clinics. As an integral part of the Pembroke community, the Gelinas Farm remains an important piece of New Hampshire's agricultural landscape. So we talk stories, we talk horses, we talk life, we talk about what really matters. I would love for you to jump in and listen to this. Even if you know nothing about horses, I know you will find a gold nugget of wisdom in here. So let's get going. We talk about things like, how do we hear the language of our heart? Like, how do we hear the thing that speaks joy to us? You know, people are like, oh, I got to find my happy. I don't know how to find my happy. Where's my happy? You find that place that feels as normal as just breathing. Like, you're not working at it. It's just so fluid and flowy and easeful and all the things. So, you know, that's when we know, oh, I'm tuned into my higher self. I'm tuned into my heart space. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's simpatico. We're all good. And the reality is many of us spend most of our lives through conditioning and stories and old belief systems and all the crap we tell ourselves or other people tell us. And we decide to believe putting these blocks and these masks on and the barriers to who we really are deep inside. Hey guys, you're listening to the Energy of the Untamed Heart podcast, where we talk about uncaging your divinely gifted wild heart to be as free and expansive as you were born to be. My goal is to use our stories, guest interviews, and your questions to tease out what has been keeping your wild heart under wraps. I'm your host, Miel Fox, and together we will shatter the myths of our old stories to set our wild heart free. So thanks for choosing you and showing up today. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Energy the Untamed Heart podcast. I have my lovely friend, Elaine Anzian, today. We have known each other for, quite a few years. And Elaine is jumping on today in between all of her trainings and her chores and everything else. She is the owner of Gelinas Farm, a training and boarding facility in Pembroke, New Hampshire. I have been a regular there for quite a few years. And I can speak firsthand that their philosophy and their horsemanship style speaks directly to everything that this podcast is about, of letting go of your blocks and your barriers and tapping into your heart space so you can have a better connection with your equestrian companion. So without further ado, my friend Elaine. Hey, no tears, girlfriend.
Hey. No, that was just so sweet. It's really lovely to hear those words come from you. It means a lot that we embody that kind of philosophy and relationship with our horses, and we get to share it with folks like you. So thank you. Thanks for having me on too.
Absolutely. I'm really excited. Yeah, it's so fun. So for the listeners, we probably have a percent of the listeners who are horse people, either own horses, ride horses, know a little bit about horses, but we probably have a big percent of the audience that they just don't have access to that, or maybe have never experienced the connection that you and I have had the opportunity to experience. I came to it late in life. I came to it as an adult, and I feel like my learning curve is a little bit steeper because of that. And I never thought about it until this very moment as I'm speaking. My learning curve starting in horses in my mid-30s, I already came to it with a lot of emotional and psychological extra baggage that I bring to the table. Whereas you started your horse journey as a child, and I'll let you fill in the blanks, but I think it never really set true to me until just now. But I also think perhaps that is why the learning curve's a little different, just because if you come into it as a child, you don't come into it with the same level of worries, concerns, judgment holding, all the things that an adult brings to the table. I don't know if you see that, agree, or like, yeah, no.
Yeah. No, it's such a good point, actually. So I started riding horses here at Gelinas Farm when I was five or six years old, and I never looked back. My mom was like, okay, ballet, dancing lessons, or horseback riding? And I'm like, horseback riding all the way. So never looked back, and I just kind of dedicated my whole childhood and teenage years to horseback riding, and I guess I had kind of a knack for it. Yeah, as a kid, it is interesting because we have young students here that start around the same age that I did, but then I also teach adults that are just getting into it as well, like in their mid-30s or even older, like in their 60s, 70s. So it is interesting to see the difference between the two. And I think I love working in both areas because with the kids, they're so free, like they haven't lived a lot of life. So there's that lack of fear in a lot of ways. And they just feel, right? They feel that it's fun. They feel when they get out of balance and they're like, oh, I better get back in the middle. And they just like auto-correct without that like, what if? Whereas as adults, and I find myself feeling this a lot more as I get older, because when I fall, it hurts a lot more.
We don't bounce anymore. We used to be rubbery and bounce. We don't bounce.
Yeah. But as we go through life and, you know, life throws its hardships at us, we get a little bit weary of things, and we know it's not all like it's almost like we kind of lose trust in ourselves a little bit. And when you put us on top of a horse, our body goes more into this instinctual pattern where it's like, I need to protect myself because I'm a little fearful. I'm way up off the ground. And so it's really cool to work with older adults or even like, you know, 20s, 30s, and just help them unlock that little piece of themselves where they can learn to really like get out of their heads and like start to feel and let go of some of those fears. And I mean, it doesn't happen overnight, as you know, Miel, but it's like a constant struggle, right? But yes, it is really fun to see how that relationship with yourself can change through horseback riding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so what I really love that you describe is the willingness, the openness, and the lack of fear that younger children have compared to where we are as adults. For me, I started downhill skiing at the age of 3. And back in the day, your folks stuck you on 2 wooden sticks and shoved you down the mountain. There was nobody holding your hand and helping you go along. They were just like, okay, see you at the bottom. Bye. When off you went. And there was no helmets, and there were no mouth guards, and there was nothing. I mean, literally nothing. Honestly, it's a miracle that we're still alive. But that being said, because, you know, you just didn't have any fear. You're just like, woohoo, the wind's blowing through my hair, and look at me go, and I'm like almost flying, and woohoo, and you're exuberant and excited and expansive, and it just so free. And there are brief, I will say, I do every once in a while return to that feeling when I'm on my horse. I return to that feeling a lot when I'm with my horse, not on my horse, but actually just with my horse and having time together. I feel that ease of connection that literally is like, okay, this takes no work here. Like, this is just so comfortable between the two of us, between my energetic body, their energetic body, that I can be in the space. And I don't have anything like, oh, are they going to step on me? Oh, am I going to get bit? Oh, are they going to, you know, swing ahead? I mean, don't get me wrong. Sure, you pay attention, but I don't have that wariness, that survival mode, that, oh my gosh, like on the surface. It's such a smooth and easy, comfortable feeling that's when I say this is so much about energy of the untamed heart, is if you think about it, we take these horses who at one time were wild, and granted through breeding and purchasing and selling, we now have domesticated, just like your cat and your dog. And yet there's still the untamedness within them, which is the spark of energy that keeps them alive and going, and how very tuned in they are. And then you take our human energetic being, which is wrapped up here in this little human body, and deep down there's that same untamed wildness within us, but we've kind of covered it up. We've domesticated it a little bit with all of our social conditioning. And so I do find that, although, you know, you can't live in woulda, coulda, shoulda, but sure, there's a little piece of me, like every little girl, wished she'd had her little pony at age five. And sometimes I think to myself, wow, I wonder what my horsemanship could have been like had I done horses like I did skiing. You know, where is that at? But at the same time, I also believe you get what you get when you're supposed to get it. And so there you go.
Yes.
But I really feel, my next question to you is, do you find that a lot of times you're not actually so much training the horse as you are untraining the human so they can just connect better with their horse?
Oh gosh, wow, what a good question. And I love everything you just said. It got me thinking about a lot of things, but yeah, I think like they're right, you're dealing with two beings when I'm working with horses and people. I want it, you know, I want the horse to make sure they're feeling good about themselves, especially if it's, say, a training horse and somebody that I am training the horse for them to help them. But then if you take your regular lesson horse, say, which, you know, they're saints and we all need good lesson horses, I'm able to focus a little more in on the person. But I think, gosh, it is equal parts in a lot of ways. Like there will be some days where I am really focused on the human because I know that if they're riding tight and they're like, you know, or had like just a really rough week or whatever, you know, we take that and we can kind of bring it into our horsemanship and, you know, we all do it. Like I have a really anxious day or something happened and I'm like, gotta get going, or get this horses, these horses worked, and they feed off of that. So I think, yes, in part as a trainer and an instructor, it is teaching the human how to let go in a lot of ways, how to learn how to feel and trust in their bodies a little bit more, helping the horse like through them too. So for me, I guess it's never just them. It's never just the horse. While sometimes my focus is heavily on the horse, or maybe my focus is heavily on the human, a lot of times, you know, if I don't focus in on what the person is doing and what that person needs, I'm not able to help the horse. I don't know if that makes sense. Like,
it absolutely
it's
does.
Kind of like a,
yeah. It really does.
It's a whole assessment.
It is. And for listeners who may not know some of the terminology that we're just tossing around, when Elena speaks about riding tight, it's think about like clenching your muscles or grabbing. Like if you're concerned, let's say you're on the ride at, I don't know, the amusement park, and you grab the arm bar to steady yourself because you're afraid you're going to come flying out of the seat or your harness or whatever the thing may be. When we talk about riding tight on a horse, it means that we're either holding our muscles, contracting something that really should be not engaged in the moment, or psychologically tight, like your mind is not where it ought to be and your horse is aware of this. And then now there's no support. It's my analogy, when I'm not in sync with my horse and my mind is, you know, I don't know, maybe running the grocery list or something, is a little bit like you say to your 2 or 3 year old toddler, come on, we're going to cross the road, let's go. And the traffic is whizzing by and doing all the things. And the little kid's like, hey, mom, can you hold my hand so we can get across the road together? And you're like, no, let's go, let's go, let's go. I got to get dinner on the table. Let's do it. And you're rushing through and the toddler's like, ugh! Oh my God, what's going on? Am I going to make it across the road? I'm just asking for a little support here. And this is what I feel when I'm with a horse, that the first thing that occurs to me is, what am I doing that is creating this mirrored back response for my horse? Like, is this Is this something like I'm balled up inside, I'm balled up in my mind, my focus is somewhere else, I've stopped breathing, like I'm holding my breath.
Yeah.
Like, what's the gig that my horse is giving me this kind of a response? And then the second thing that I tend to think about is, okay, what do I need to be doing or feeling or thinking about to, just like a small child, put my horse at ease and let them know, hey, I got you. It's okay. I got you. You're not going to have to cross the street by yourself. You're good. I got you. And that communication to me is like an enormous piece of the learning. What you guys do specifically at your farm, which I really love. And I, like most people, you don't know what you don't know till you do. Like, God bless your mama. She put you in a good place from day one. And so you've always had really good, not just riding instruction, but you've really been nurtured in the connection between the human and the horse and why that's of value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas when I started riding, I came to it very much like many people do, which is I want to learn to ride. And the knowledge that, oh, there's this whole other layer of connectivity available in a relationship beyond this is the horse I get on and I ride for an hour and then we go away and bye-bye till next lesson. Mm-hmm. So I came to the understanding of where I am now, but it's taken a long time because initially I had no idea. I'd never had to care for a horse. I'd never had to do that day-to-day that you do. I basically lived in an environment where you pay an instructor X number of dollars, you go to the barn, the horse is all ready for you to go, you get on, you do your thing for an hour, and you hand the horse off and bye-bye, see you next week. And sure, you might learn how to stick your feet in the stirrups and you might how to learn to keep your butt in the saddle, but you're missing the whole, I mean, to me, you're missing the golden nugget. You're missing the beauty of the ultimate beauty, which is how do two hearts resonate and connect and speak to one another to have a beautiful journey together. And now, decades later, this is what I spend all my time wanting and learning. But I just want to make it clear to the listeners, like, there's lots of different ways to get to an end point, and they're not all the same. But to take a path that takes into consideration the amazingness and the givingness of a horse for a human is phenomenal. And your facility offers that on lots of levels, which I love, really love.
Yeah. And I think like what you said too, just going back to like the horse and the person and the connection between the two, I think like a huge reason why I decided to come back to the horse world, right? I was in it as a kid. I wanted to be a horse trainer. I wanted to go on this path and be in it forever. And then I kind of veered away from it. And then roundabout way, here I am. I own my facility now. And this is like my full-time gig. I think what made me want to come back to it was that realization that, you know, the horses, what you were saying earlier about like domestication and everything, you know, the horses are here as animals that, you know, they didn't necessarily ask to do this or be in our lives. They're here to offer that to us. They didn't ask for this. And the people, I think, you know, someone like myself, where I have been doing this, I've been extremely blessed and have had amazing opportunities and amazing teachers. And I think I felt a sense of, wow, like, you know, I see a lot of people struggle with their relationships with their horses. I want to help people like connect better with them. I want to help these people help their horses. Because again, these horses didn't necessarily say like, this is the path I want. Like, they're animals, right? They get put in these situations. So I guess like a huge pivot point for me was just realizing that I have this talent, I guess, or ability to help people, this willingness to help people, and a love for horses and a way to connect with horses. So I think, you know, like what you were saying, it's a privilege for me to be able to help people help their horses. And that is like what I think keeps me going all the time, and seeing these relationships between people and their horses improve over time. That's what's really, really cool. And to be able to help people understand and tap into that kind of peacefulness, that freedom that being with horses offers is really neat. And, you know, I've been doing this full time for a year now, and I'm just getting started. So it's really cool. And I'm really excited to continue to see these relationships change and build over the years. You know, whether it's a little 6-year-old that, like I was, that just, you know, wants to yahoo around or learn how to brush a horse, pick their feet and all that stuff, or if it's the 60-year-old woman that lifelong dream has been to ride a horse, you know, just being able to facilitate that connection and facilitate bettering the relationships with people and their, say, young horses that they buy or problem horses that they've run into. It's amazing. It's really cool.
It's really amazing. And I'm going to say very honestly, and you know, this is the truth. Yes, I know you, but I'm just going to tell you the truth because I've been to many, many instructors, many places, many barns, many clinics in my state and other states, other countries, all over. I've had an opportunity to, let's say, try lots of different flavors of ice cream. And what comes home to me is when somebody really does their job truly with the best interest of the horse at the forefront. And of course, you know, keeping the safety of your riders there. But when the drive is not, okay, we're just doing this because we're going to go to the test next week and we need Fluffy to do this maneuver and that maneuver and whatever. But to we can come to the end goal of, you would like to ride in such and such a way. You would like to do a trail ride. You would like to take a dressage test. You would like to whatever the thing is. Or you just want to get along better with your horse. I think you probably honestly undervalue the value of you, which is the gift that you bring. I think it's huge for the horse because, let's face it, the primary driver for a horse is safety. That's their gig. Mm-hmm. It isn't, is my mane pretty today? They don't get up and go, hey, am I looking good? All they really care about is, am I okay? Like, am I surviving the tiger today? Here we go. Am I good? Yep. And the skill that you have to up level that piece of it for the horse, to give them a skill set so they can understand you're good, you're safe, you're supported. And that allows them to what I call fill in for the moments that the human doesn't quite grab it yet, like doesn't quite get the concept yet. So that's super critical. And your facility and you personally, because I've had time with you personally, is huge. But the other piece is what I can certainly speak from personally is that my time and my growth, my personal transformative growth of myself has been radically facilitated through my time with horses. I think honestly, to make the shifts and changes over the years that I've been able to make and to let go of a lot of conditioned beliefs and thoughts and fears was absolutely facilitated through my time spent with my horses and through clinics and other teachings in facilities, including Jelinus Farm, which that's the priority. And so what I have to say, and my next question to you is, do you feel for your long-term clients? And I have to tell the listeners, most people who start at Jelinus, like, never leave Jelinus. It's sort of like the Willy Wonka beauty place of horses. You kind of go like, whoa, man, wow. Can I just live here? It's really pretty amazing. But I have to say, I don't think it's short-term transformations, really what I'm grabbing at. What I'm really saying is I don't think what you facilitate as the conduit of bringing these two energetic beings together and helping the human understand the horse and the horse understand the human. So you're that conduit between the two for sure. But I, you know, it's not like a one and done, like, oh, I have this transformative event for 45 minutes. See you later. Bye, Elena. Next week. It is embedded and integrated into the human And I'm curious, do you see people that maybe have been with you for some time, like, wow, when Sally Sue first started here, she was like this, and over whatever number of years or lessons, her whole being has now kind of shifted. There's like a softer version of her. And I can say I see it in myself. Granted, I'm not, all a woozy around the edges, but yeah.
And like I said, I'd say I've got about a year under my belt now, but I mean, I guess of owning the business, but I've been at it for a while. I love that you asked that because it's the clients that continue to come back and continue to work with me over time. And I'm thinking of one client in particular. I started her horse and she was like, I don't know if I'm even gonna like keep him. And she's like, I've never had formal lessons. We've trail ridden. And she's like, all I want to do is trail ride. And I'm always like, great. If that's all you want to do, then we have a lot we can work on together. And I think there's that common misconception where folks are like, all I want to do is trail ride. Well, if all you want to do is trail ride, then horsemanship is for you. It's been amazing to watch her grow with this young horse who wasn't, he was great, but he's spunky. Like he has a little bit of sass to him. And just to see like me introducing some concepts to her that were kind of new and just see those shift over the past, I think I've been working with her for like 2 years now. It really tickles me because I'm like, holy smokes, like she's changing. She has softened like in the saddle. Now she hasn't told me whether she's changed outside of the barn or off her horse, but I mean, it's just beautiful to see their relationship change. And there was one point, and that's not to say like horseback riding isn't linear, right? It's not like, oh, it's you, if you work with me, it's gonna be perfect from here on out. No, like we have some hard lessons. Like you take 2 steps forward and then you might take 5 steps backwards. But I think that's what's really humbling about horseback riding is the fact that you're always challenging to go backwards, build on the things that maybe weren't quite as good as you thought they were, and then move on forward again. So, we've had some ups and downs, and now, like the last time we were together, I was like, you guys have changed. It's just unbelievable how much they've changed over the past couple years, and that is exciting for me to see. And I think, I see that with a lot of my students and a lot of my clients that come or bring their horses in for training. It's fun to see. And I love that you brought that to my attention because I think as a trainer, I do get focused on the horse, right? But it really is so much about the person too and the change in the person. So that is beautiful to see.
Yeah, I can absolutely say my life would look very, very different without horses in it. My day career is extremely intense and high stress. And yes, I use the barn as my refuge. It is my downtime. I'm not going to say that it isn't because that wouldn't be very honest. But it's more than that. It's the learning that I receive through my time with the horses is not just healing, like it sort of offsets the high intensity day work, but it is, and yeah, it's therapeutic. I'm not going to say it's not therapeutic, and of course it is, but it also is a gentle way of saying, stop the chaos, stop the brain chatter, stop the keeping yourself busy and quote unquote doing the things. And listen to what your soul wants. Listen to what your soul is speaking. And when you get there, your horse hears you, feels you, senses you, resonates with you. You're on that same exchange. And what you receive back is so profoundly humbling in what they're willing to share with you if you're receptive, if you're open and receptive, which, okay, this will drag us into the next topic and we'll make it kind of short, but I firmly, firmly believe our purpose, part of our purpose here on Earth, is to be in a state of what I call radical receivership. Many people use this term. It's not my term. I'm just borrowing.
Yeah.
But it's the concept of being open and receptive. It's the concept of considering, is this the only way that this could look? Is this the only way that this could be? Could I possibly entertain that something could feel different, could look different, could result in something different? And when I have brought a more spacious version of Miel to the barn, to my time with my horse, and been in a better state of receivership, unconditionally, no judge, the amount of shift and change that the horses mirrored back to me is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. So I'll give you just the quick example. The listeners won't necessarily know this horse in particular, but I have a very young horse that is getting kind of a late beginning to school, and Elena helped me with her over the summer. And prior to taking her, she was pretty worried about a lot of things, shall we say. And she in particular, really, of all of the animals on the farm here, she's the one that actually seeks me out, looks for me. Like, where are you? And which I think is flattering. Aww. Don't get me wrong. I'm like, oh, isn't that sweet, baby? That's so good. However, I don't know if she does that because she's afraid of everything else and I'm like the security blanket, or if she actually wants to spend her time with me. And so sometimes I'm like, I wonder what it is. So anyhow, I have spent some time with her where I just really try to not come into our time with an agenda. And just be in a state of open receivership to see, what does she have to show up with today? Like, what is it that she's showing up with to mirror to me? And then I look at that, or I take that in, and that's the thing that I know needs the attention for the time. And it's made a big difference, as opposed to, oh, it's 2 o'clock on Thursday. I have 45 minutes and I'm going down to the barn and we're going to get Fluffy and this is what we're going to get done.
Oh my
gosh. That does not end well. I will tell you. The result of that is very poor. Yeah. So I'm sure you probably see that. And that, you know, we talk about it as being on horse time, like human time and horse time are not the same. And it takes the time it takes to do whatever. And if you actually slow it all down, it takes even less time. But what is your sense or feeling on the idea of human openness, spaciousness, receivership, and what the horse serves up as horse receivership?
Ooh, wow. Ooh, yeah.
This is a deep one.
It is. And I think, like, as far as receiving, like, I do, just from personal experience, right? Like, I'm not always able to receive, right? And I think I'm still learning, like, when are those times that I'm able to receive? When are those times that I'm not in a headspace to receive? And actually, after this podcast, I'm going to probably be even more aware of it, right? The horse really mirrors where we're at each day. And to go in and work with a horse and have like an agenda, right? I will, like, with my training horses, I'm like, okay, there are certain things that I want to get done, right, in 30, 60 days, but that doesn't always happen. And I think, like, I'm getting into the philosophy that it takes the time it takes, because you have to go by the horse and what the horse is able to receive, right? If I force my agenda on a horse, it's not going to go well. And there are days where I've been like, okay, I want to work on this with this horse today, but I hop on him or her and I feel something else. And then it goes a completely different route, right? And that's okay. And then there's other days where I'm like, I'm not in a space to be receiving right now, or I don't walk into the barn every day feeling like I'm on top of the world. 90% of the time, it's pretty amazing, but, you know, I'm human, right? So in those instances, I kind of change the way I approach my horses. I try not to set myself up to dig into anything too difficult or challenging. And I've started to take this approach, and I guess this is me actively receiving, is hopping on that horse, say I'm not quite in the right place, and just like go into feeling, right? And that's a huge part of horsemanship and working with horses for me is feeling. What is it that horse is trying to tell me, trying to give to me at this moment in time? And instead of trying to like force it to try and fix it, I'm a big micromanager. And so I'm trying to get out of that. So I now try to approach it like, okay, you know, where are the little things that I can work on? Where can this horse kind of receive where I'm at today? What is this horse trying to give to me where I'm at today too? So a lot of times it's not micromanaging the horses. It's just going for the ride, feeling where they're at, what they need, and riding and enjoying the ride. And that's sometimes what training is just riding them, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't need to be doing like flying lead changes and all this stuff, right? It's riding. Like, are they rhythmic? Are they balanced? Are they breathing? Am I rhythmic? Am I balanced? Am I breathing? So there's like this back and forth, like silent communication of giving and receiving between horse and rider. And I think it's not the same every day. And I think that is where we can often get ourselves into trouble with these horses is like, oh, I should be further along, or I should be here, or I should be in this place. This horse is this old. It should be here. It's like, why should like, who are we comparing ourselves to?
Right.
If you are just here to develop a beautiful relationship with a horse, what's the timeline? Like, who cares? Be the best version of yourself for your horse, and your horse will give that back to you. And, you know, I think that's been a big part of my clientele is like, they don't necessarily want to go to the Olympics. They don't want to do big shows. And I'm perfectly happy with that. I think if you can just be the best version of you, right on. Don't put that pressure on yourself to show up and be at a certain point every day, you know? So I guess those are my feelings when we talk about receiving and being in a space of receiving with the horse. It almost is like we just have to be quiet and listen sometimes.
Yes.
And feel.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I think putting the human agenda and the human ego, leave it out in the parking lot. Because that means nothing to your horse. Your horse doesn't care what your agenda is, and your horse doesn't want to hear what your ego tells you. All your horse wants is your heart.
And it's so hard.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
But it is so hard, which is why we constantly come back to, oh, I need to do this clinic. Oh, I need to do this thing. Mm-hmm. So let's shift gears for the last few minutes. And for listeners, anybody who wants to kind of know, so how does all of this work? So many facilities, you don't have to own a horse to learn about a horse.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly can spend time at a facility, and there are more often than not resident equines whose job it is to be the gifts to the world as teachers for those of us who may or may not have the capacity to have our own horse. That also being said, I've seen the trend over the last 20 plus years shift in who's available to help mentor or help bring riders to a different perspective of what they may be learning. And we call those little windows like mini clinics, little mini learning sessions. And I'll let you sort of fill in the blanks, but Elena and Jelena's Farm have had a history of bringing like-minded, like-philosophied clinicians, horsemen, horsewomen, who come for a long weekend usually to teach horses and riders a little bit more about horsemanship. And some of the shifts and changes that I've seen, especially most recently at Jelena's, is this understanding and this awareness of the connectivity of mind, body, spirit, not just here's the body mechanics, get on the horse, put your leg here, put your hand there and do the thing. But I really see a shift in how we bring information forward to recognize and honor that the horse's energetic being is an equal partner in the dance. You know, one of those folks being your Breathe to Ride clinic, where they really integrate the whole nervous system regulation of the human through breathing techniques to better facilitate that relationship when riding. So can you share with us how you feel that as the owner and as the trainer at the farm, you've seen a shift or change in who brings what? Like, what's coming to the table for the types of clinicians who show up? Like, who do you want to see come and why?
So I think there has been a little bit of a shift, actually, even in, like, so Tom Curtin, he's been coming to the farm for 22 years now. And Trina, his wife, also has been coming to the farm for 22 years. And Trina does energy work with horses and energy healing work, and is a very accomplished horsewoman, along with Tom, of course, very accomplished horseman. And this work that Trina has started doing definitely has shifted, I think, even how their teachings of horsemanship too, which is amazing. Like, you know, Tom and Trina are just, they've lived so much, they've done so much, they've learned from masters, and it's really cool to see this added element in their clinics now. And Trina actually comes and does an energy clinic now here in August. But and so it starts there, right? So we kick off with Tom, and they have this. Tom has always talked about this relationship between horse and human, and how it's always been about feel, timing, and balance, and building that relationship between horse and human in a horse-centered approach. And so then we've got, now building on this that we've been having for years, Katie and Kristen with Breathe to Ride. This has been a huge thing that they just started, really focusing in on using our own breath and our own body awareness to improve, once again, that relationship and connectivity with our horses. And so the more I, like, see these trends coming and people getting on with this stuff, it's like, yeah, it makes total sense, right? Like, horses, if you observe natural horse behavior, they don't speak to each other. They feel, it's energy. Their energy that they bring to one another in the field is how they communicate. And that's how we have to learn to communicate with them, is really through feel and energy. And so I think, like, I'm really excited about the suite of clinicians we have this year. And I'm excited to be teaching some of my own clinics this year as well, as far as when it comes to learning and growing and the shift in the industry. I think it does horsemanship a disservice if we don't focus on the energy side of things and the feel side of things. It's, you know, some folks are like, oh, that woo-woo stuff. It's not, though. It's not woo-woo.
It's not woo-woo.
And we also... And what's interesting too, though, you know, that being said, the biomechanics side of things, equally important, right? And that's what's cool about Breathe to Ride, is they sort of combine both those things. And then we've also had the privilege to be able to work with Wendy Murdoch as well. And she really dives into the biomechanics side of things and how it relates to the human brain. And I just think, like, that is cool too, because even Wendy talked a lot the first time I rode with her, a lot about fear and how to overcome fear as horseback riders. And it does stem down to biomechanics, but that fear is an emotion that many of us carry, like we were talking about in the very beginning of our chat, right?
Yeah.
So I think all of this being said, is I think at least here at Gelinas, I feel like my goal over the next couple of years is obviously to maintain this vision of the farm that has been going for the past 30 years, but to kind of grow in a way that really, well, I guess is coming from a place of receiving. Like, I want people to come here and leave feeling better about their relationship with their horses than when they came. And not just from like a training side of things, like doing the things and doing the transitions and all that stuff, but also from like an energetic level. Like, I want that connection between horse and human to be stronger than when they left. And so I guess that's where I'm kind of putting my focus as far as like the clinicians we bring in, the clinics I'm teaching, and how I'm sort of approaching my business.
I think it's great.
This was all very unintentional.
It just kind of happened that way. But it isn't. I think the transition for the previous owners to you, it's sort of like the welcoming, not just the welcoming of the next generation of horsemen, horsewoman into the field of horses, but it's also welcoming in the new paradigm of how can we understand that we're all interconnected, we're all one, that my heart speaks to your heart, speaks to the horse's heart, that it is all one, energetically speaking. Everything has the capacity to be united and one. And what disrupts that is all the fears and the conditioning and everything that goes with it. But if we can learn how to return home to who we really are in our heart, listen to the language of our heart, hear the heart speak from our horse to ourselves, I think that is the what is up and coming more openly. It's been out there for a long time. Don't get me wrong. We're not reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah.
It's been out for a very, very long time, but it hasn't necessarily been, shall I say, spoken so mainstream, spoken so openly and so publicly, and acknowledge that this is not woo, this is like the real deal. And the proof's in the pudding. I mean, if you have a great connection with your horse, the things that they will offer you to do for you is phenomenal. I mean, it's just phenomenal. So tell us, how do people find you? I know how to find you. Well, I just get in my truck and drive on down the road.
Come on down.
Come on down.
So I, like we said, I own Gelinas Farm in Pembroke, New Hampshire. We're located on Fourth Range Road. But if you want to get in touch with us, and it's not just me, we have a staff of amazing trainers and instructors as well. So I'm really fortunate to have a group of like-minded women to work alongside me. If you are interested in training or learning more, we do have a website, gelinasfarm.com. And then email is info@gelinasfarm.com. And dare I give out my cell phone number? I will. The farm number is 603-545-8216. The best way to get in touch with us is definitely through email or our Facebook page. We've got Gelinas Farm Facebook and Instagram. And actually, I'm launching after the new year, which this podcast will probably be out after the new year, but is NZN Horsemanship. So that is kind of the, I guess, philosophy side of Gelinas Farm. So kind of doing a little of my own branding, branching out. But yeah, I literally just got the logos the other day. So I'm working on launching a little NZN Horsemanship Facebook, Instagram page. It's all in the same, like, still Gelinas Farm, but NZN Horsemanship is just my little slice of training.
Elena slice of pie. If you couldn't tell, horses are literally my air. I could chat and exchange conversation about their amazingness and all the things for hours and hours, but I simply cannot say enough about the importance of laying your junk aside and really leaning into how you can shift your life by getting in sync with the vibration of your horse's energetic language. If you want more information on Elena, what she offers, and check out some of the heartwarming pictures on her website, hop on over to NZN Horsemanship at Gelinas Farm. You can find her on gelinasfarm.com. Everything's there, the offers, the clinics, a beautiful view of what the property is like and how well they are being stewards of the land and stewards of the horse. It's just beautiful. I'd be really grateful if you would share up a 5-star review here for the podcast. That is what keeps us up and visible in the algorithm. Of course, subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. If you'd like to follow along on other episodes, here we are on all the listening platforms. You can also reach out to me in DM if you have a particular request or topic you'd love to talk about. And if you just stay tuned, releases come out on Thursdays. Some of them are mini-sodes, solo episodes. Some are guest episodes. You can catch me over on the social platforms under Miel Fox or via the website at www.foxedinenergetics.com. If you haven't already found the Lead From Your Heart Summit, please take a look at that. It is up on a dedicated YouTube channel. The sign up is for free. They're beautiful videos by 12 globally recognized individuals who are talking about how they are moving through this world, leading from their heart space, and building and creating and changing the collective one heart at a time. That's so up my alley, right? So thanks again. I really appreciate you all jumping on, and stay tuned for another amazing episode here on the Energy of the Untamed Heart. Sending my love to you all.